What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing them in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Yeah, time to do our Meet Your Tenant Command section, where we have a chance to find out what takes place on board NAS Whiting Field, NAS Pensacola, and Corey Station. Today I have in studio with me, I have Captain Doug White. He is the Commodore of Training Wing 6, call sign Cricket, that is on board NAS Pensacola. Captain, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Andrew, thanks so much for having me here.
Hold on just a second. There we go. Go ahead.
Thanks so much for having me here.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Great to have you. Is this your first radio interview?
It is my first radio interview.
Yes! Yeah. I love it. Yep. See, this is as an aside. The whole point of doing this was, you know, the Blue Angels get a lot of attention. The museum gets a lot of attention. Village gets a lot of attention, the commanding officer of the base. I wanted to give all of the other operational units attention, and so that makes me excited every time I can get somebody on the air for the very first time to talk to our community. Before we get into what you do, you have kind of an interesting family story. You are definitely not the first person in the Navy in your family.
I am not, Andrew. I am a fourth generation Navy. It goes way back all the way to World War I with my great grandfather, fireman on the USS New York, and then my grandfather Hugh, who was on the USS Pennsylvania in World War II. My dad, airframer on F-8s and VF-111, the Sundowners, pretty famous Navy squadron in Vietnam. And most of my uncles as well, aviation in the Navy. And
wow.
So I grew up with all these stories about the Navy at basically every family function. They all did one enlistment and got out, except for my one uncle, who's a retired chief petty officer. And so I always thought to myself, well, geez, guys, you talk about this like it was the best time of your life. Maybe I should look into that as well.
That's great. So did your grandfather or your great-grandfather have a chance to know you as a captain, as a Commodore?
Unfortunately, no. My great-grandfather passed away when I was about a year and a half old.
Okay.
My grandfather passed away when I was in high school. He did know that I got an appointment to the Naval Academy.
Okay. But the rest of your family, I assume it's kind of, you know, a little weird for them that you're this guy now, the guy they used to always salute, right?
Yeah. It's of course they're proud of me, but
yeah.
I tend to try to remember where I came from as
that's,
well.
That's always important. All right, so let's explain to people what you do. You're the Commodore of the Wing, and you have, by my count, you have four and a half units that operate underneath what you do, but it's all training, most of which is related to what civilians might call backseaters, naval flight officers. If you think Top Gun, Goose.
Right.
Okay, you guys train the gooses of the Navy and the Marines, right?
That is correct. You know, it's a common misconception, and it's that's usually the example I give to folks when I tell them, hey, I'm a naval flight officer. Their normal reply is, oh, but Goose dies. Which is obviously not part
away.
Of the plan. Yes, that's true. He did die in the movie. But what we really do, what a naval flight officer really is they are a specialist in the mission of the aircraft that they are assigned in. So they are, you know, if they're a TAC air, tactical air, fast jet, naval flight officer, they'll have a name. So in the Growler, the aircraft that I flew, I was an electronic warfare officer.
That's the F-18 that is electronic attack.
That's right. Suppression of enemy air defenses. Mm-hmm. So we clear out the defenses so that the strike aircraft, the F-18Es and F models, can go in and drop their bombs. And so if you're in an F model Super Hornet, you are an expert in the weapons that that aircraft carries. You do all the weaponeering for the mission to make sure that you get the correct effects on target. In the other big wing platforms, you are an expert in the mission of that aircraft. So if you are a naval flight officer, let's say at an E-6 TACAMO, which is the nuclear command and control aircraft, you know, your entire purpose in life is to make sure that those messages make it out.
So, and, you know, if you're working on like a Poseidon, you know, you're going to be anti-sub, so you're deploying the sonar buoys. Mm-hmm. Because in each plane that has this kind of need, you're going to have the pilot who's responsible primarily for flying the plane,
right.
And then you have the naval flight officer who is responsible for the operation of the weapons and or detection and or jamming and or whatever the other purpose of delivering that plane on target. The NFO is responsible for that slice.
That's right. And many times the naval flight officer is the overall mission commander.
Okay.
For the mission. So it has nothing to do with controlling the aircraft and everything to do with your amount of expertise in the mission area.
And you train how many a year?
Somewhere between 250 and 300. It varies slightly year to year just based on the needs of the Navy. But that's about what we put out, which is interesting because that's roughly the same number of jet pilots that the Navy makes every year.
Okay. So one thing is that people may not realize this, and this is why we're doing the series, is like you mentioned the F-18. The F-18, the A and B was the legacy Hornet. The A was the one-seater. The B was the two-seater. C, D, E, F, these are all two-seat these are all the Super Hornet configurations. The C and the E are the single-seat. The D and the F are the two-seat configuration. Why don't they all have two?
Well, That's probably a longer answer.
Okay,
all right, I'm not privy to all the details with acquisition. I did do a tour in a test squadron, but who really knows why they ordered them the way that they did?
Okay,
I will tell you that the two-seat platforms allow a much higher level of division of labor inside the cockpit.
Okay.
Right, so the E and the F have the same mission, but it doesn't take much thought to realize that if you got two people doing the same mission, obviously folks can specialize, they can divide their attention,
sure,
and you're going to get a in theory higher level of performance out of the aircraft.
Okay, and fair enough, because you know some platforms like the F-35 is only a single person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know things like the Prowler and the Poseidon, they're only multiple people, so they don't have a single pilot mission. And so it's just kind of interesting to me that the F-18 does have that kind of split nature to it. And you know, you don't train the front seaters, you train the back seaters. We're going to come back to this in a second because we've just scratched the surface, but it's going to get pretty interesting here in a second. We're talking to Captain Doug White. He is call sign Cricket, the Commodore Training Wing 6 on board NAS Pensacola. Back to Cricket. Okay, so training Air Wing 6 on board NAS Pensacola. By my count, you use two different aircraft and then training, you know, simulators.
That's correct.
You have three squadrons. Training Squadron 4 is the Warbucks. And this is training who?
So I'll back it up to you this way. We'll just do it chronologically.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Comes into the training pipeline. So a couple of weeks ago, you had Redman on. Redman runs Schools Command. That's where the indoctrination part that everybody gets the same, level-based load of learning, whether you're a
naval
pilot.
Introductory flight evaluation, knife.
That's right. From there, if you're a naval flight officer, you're going to come over to Training Wing 6. You stay in Pensacola the entire time. We are unique in that. All the other jobs in the Navy. If you're a student naval aviator, you're going to bounce around.
They might go to Whiting, they might go to Corpus, right. Whatever, or they might come back to Whiting for Halos or Meridian. Okay, but
that's right.
But if they're going to do NFO, they're staying here.
They're staying here in Pensacola. So everybody comes into VT-10, the Wildcats. That is our primary squadron. They fly the T-6 Texan II made by Beechcraft. So it's the propeller plane that you see flying around. It is 1,100 horsepower. It is essentially a early World War II fire in terms of performance. 7Gs, very powerful, nimble aircraft. They use that to learn the basics of aviation. So aviating, navigating, and communicating. So talking on the radios, learn how to get from A to B, and co-piloting skills. After primary is when...
And just so people have been listening to this whole series, if they're learning how to fly the front seat pilot role, they'd be at Whiting. Or Corpus. If they're learning the backseat role, they'd be with you, where they have instructor pilots in the front seat.
That's right.
who are themselves either current or former naval aviator pilots training the backseaters. Right?
That's right. That's okay. Right. We have all active duty pilots down here at Training Wing 6. Some of the other training wings do have contractors that fly with them.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, the first few flights that they do in the T-6, they are in the front seat flying the aircraft.
Oh, okay. Yep. See, I didn't know that. Yep. I'm glad I asked.
No better way to learn how to swim than to just see what it jump is. Into the deep end of the pool.
Okay.
So that's what we do to give them appreciation for what the pilot is doing and the mm-hmm. task loading on them. And then from there, we move them to the backseat in later flights as they get deeper into the navigation.
Okay. So in the pipeline, they go to learn primary NFO, yep. and then they do advanced NFO.
Yep. So actually,
because there's a selection, right?
Yep. There's a selection after primary. And after that, that's when they get sorted.
That's right. Between the sorting hat of the sorting hat of jets or big wing or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Right. So the two pipelines after that are essentially big wing or jets. And if you get jets, you stay in VT-10. You do an intermediate where you learn formation flying, tactical maneuvering with multiple aircraft. If you
and now you're on the Goshawk. You're the T-40.
No, you're still in T-6s.
Oh, okay.
But you're just adding in more T-6s flying together. And then from there, after you complete intermediate in VT-10, you go on to VT-86, flying the T-45.
Got it.
Over on the other side of the house, if you select big wing, you're going to go to VT-4. You're going to do a core intermediate phase. They have a system of simulators that allows them to reconfigure based on platform. So everybody gets the same core, and then they select at the end of intermediate into their individual platform, either P-8s, the Poseidon aircraft that we talked about, the E-6 TACAMO that we talked about, or the E-2C Hawkeye, which does airborne early warning.
That's I call it the brain plane, the one with the big
the
dome.
Brain plane. Yeah. It is the quarterback of the fleet.
So they go through this selection and they either stay in 10 and learn the intermediate for on the Texan and then eventually go to 4 for the T-45, or they go to the trainers and they learn on simulators how to work with big wing, where they would eventually go to a fleet replacement squadron.
Absolutely.
And learn their particular platform and then actually go out into the fleet.
That's right. So at the end of the road here in Pensacola are the wings of gold, as we say. So we have one winging every month, and then from there they will go to their individual fleet replacement squadron based on what platform they selected.
So if I look up in the air,
yes,
and I see the white body with the orange wingtips accented, it could be that it's one of your planes where they're learning how to be backseaters. It could be that it's one of Fez's planes from Whiting that they're learning how to be front seaters, but it is going to be one of those two things.
Yes, if it's a jet,
if it's a
mine.
T-45, yeah. Then it's loud.
It's mine.
Then it's going to be yours only because that's learning how to be a backseater in the jet so that they can go off and become growler pilots, presumably mostly.
Growler EWOs or Super Hornet Wizzos, weapon systems officers.
All right. So what about there's another program that you do, though, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it yet, but it's an important one because you have the drone training.
That's right.
Under your command.
That's right. And this is a new program that we are just standing up right now. Right now it is just a detachment that is under the wing, under the auspices of the wing. But we will we've already winged about 10 air vehicle pilots. So this is the Navy's foray into autonomous platforms.
Okay.
So these individuals are the ones that will operate the MQ-25 Stingray, which is the new large drone that will fly on aircraft carriers to take over the tanking mission.
Will we start seeing these big,
unfortunately not.
Big drones over Pensacola?
I'm a fan of aviation, obviously. So we train those folks on a system called Vigilant Spirit, which is essentially a ground control station.
Oh.
So it looks very much like what they'll see in a fleet. Unfortunately, we will not have any of the actual
All right.
platforms here.
Fine.
I know.
Whatever. But also worth noting, you do have a German Air Force training squadron that operates under you, right?
That's correct. 2nd German Air Force squadron. So that is in a midst of kind of reinvention at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Germany, we're currently training the last German TAC Air weapon systems officer.
Oh,
so
okay.
He will wing next year. After that, we do also train some of their folks in a system that they have on helicopters. So the mission is not going away. It's just getting slightly smaller, and they're looking at recombining some of their efforts that they have at other training bases.
Do you have Coast Guardsmen come through your
we
training?
Do not. We do not have.
No FNOs? No, I mean, I don't know what the equivalent would be, but there isn't anybody like that you train
for
the Coast Guard?
No, not for the Coast Guard. No.
And then just so people kind of put all the pieces together a little bit, you guys report to Chief of Naval Air Training, SINATRA.
That's
is
correct.
The acronym for that. Part of what happens within your command, though, is that you are a landlord for a relatively well-known operational unit in the Navy called the Blue Angels.
That's correct.
You don't command the Blue Angels. You don't oversee the Blue Angels. Nope. But you do provide their apartment.
That's right. They're kind of like a roommate, really. Yeah. The hangar that we have two hangars out of the flight line that we operate out of. And one of them, they occupy the corner of the hangar. So it's like having a roommate that's gone a lot on the weekends working. And we just make sure that, nobody left the water on and we turn the lights off for them and stuff like that. But Boss Armitas, I've known him for many, many years. He and I were at the academy together. Fantastic.
Oh, that's great. How many planes do you oversee?
I have 21 T-45s.
And that's the Goshawk.
That's
the
Goshawk. That's
the
jet.
White plane with the orange wing tips.
43 T-6 Alphas.
Okay. And then last question is, maybe not last, but I always find more stuff. You're changing the color scheme. Is that right, that your planes are starting to adopt a different color scheme?
That's right. So Sinatra as a whole, as you know, every aircraft has to be repainted at some point. So they have started a new program that as the aircraft go in to get repainted, they will come back out in a low visibility gray color scheme. So to get ahead of that and also to honor, I guess, one of our heroes in the Naval Flight Officer community, Willie Driscoll, who is the only Naval Flight Officer ace out there from Vietnam. We are currently having one of our T-45s painted as an homage to his MiG killer F-4 from Vietnam.
Nice.
From VF-96.
I love it. Just a quick note. You said that your front seat pilots are all current active duty.
That's correct.
But I've known some people who, for example, Blue Angels pilots who retire, or maybe they stay in and I'm mistaken, but they transition over to being instructor pilots for you.
So,
and not just them, but I mean, like generally from the fleet, people. There's all you have all kinds of people that are working for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, the other training air wings do have several contract pilots.
Okay.
That they have to help out with the.
But you are all active duty.
That's correct.
Okay, and then one last quick thing is, for people who are really paying attention, they know that the Navy and the entire military is transitioning over to the F-35. A combined, you know, there will come a time when we don't order F-18s anymore. Okay, that's not going to be for a while, but still, that's a single seat only, and so people might wonder, does transition to the F-35 mean that the Naval Flight Officer training Air Wing 6, operation command necessity is going away? And the answer is?
Absolutely not. We will be here for many, many more years to come. I think the best way to look at it is the F-35 is one aircraft in the tactical air arm of the Navy. We still have all those big wing platforms that I spoke of that will require NFOs for many years to come. And we still have the Growler. And the Growler will always require a backseater. And with the growth in air vehicle pilot training that we're doing here, I expect that to come up and be something in the future here.
Yeah, that AVP or drone pilot is obviously that is a never-increasing mission for the Navy. And the fact that we are acquiring and have that in-house and it's growing from its sort of nascent stage into whatever it's going to be in the future, that we have that here already means that for people who might be worried about size of mission and, role of, training Air Wing 6 in the military ongoing for NAS Pensacola, it's not going anywhere because of that mission in particular and other things. One last, this is just a detail thing, but sometimes it helps to understand. VT means...
fixed wing. The
V
means
fixed wing.
And the T means training.
As opposed to at Whiting, you might have...
HT
for helicopter.
That's right.
See, these acronyms aren't that hard to figure out.
Yeah, well, now why fixed wing is V, I don't know.
But it is.
It is.
Yeah. And that's all you need
to
know.
It's a mystery.
Captain Doug White, call sign Cricket, Commodore Training Air Wing 6. Cricket, you did great. Thank you so much for training our Naval Flight Officers. Thank you so much for teaching us what you do and for helping us understand your mission. And the better we understand it, the more we can support it and be excited about it and know what we're talking about when we talk to people about what the Navy does here.
Thanks so much. We're very appreciative of the community here.